Welcome to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Filacci, Senior Pastor of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. Our mission is to provide practical application of biblical truth to help you experience true purpose and lasting change that can begin now. Here's Pastor Russ.
This new series is for certain building off the series we just finished and completed, and that was Peace Was Born, and we went in depth into what it means to for us to have peace with God and what that means in terms of what can be provided within us, and that is the peace of God. And as God's peace dictates our emotions and our thoughts, it changes how we live. And it sets us up to be able to walk in purpose, to walk according to what God created us to be and to do. In this new series, you know, Unintimidated is, I think, very poignant for a time such as this. Who would say that, you know, as a believer in Jesus, what we're seeing out there just in culture and social media and television, it's becoming very much more and more anti-Jesus, right? Anti-Christian. And with that can come a great deal of intimidation to be quiet, to not be vocal, right? Because what we believe is considered Neanderthal. It's considered judgmental. It's considered non-loving. It's considered this. It's considered that. It's considered narrow-minded, right? And so as we remember, first of all, that there is a spiritual war. Who believes that there's a spiritual war? Hopefully, there is a spiritual war. There is evil, there is good. There is truth, there is lies, right? And seeing what the enemy has is the ability to infiltrate culture through deception, but he does not come disguised as an author or angel of darkness, but of light, right? And as the world becomes more enlightened, the more hostile it becomes against the truth, right? We as believers need to be aware of the levels of intimidation that are coming at us and how it can mess with our minds and how it can mess with how we perceive ourselves and what we are supposed to do with our purpose and how we are supposed to live. Intimidation, whether we know it or not, could hit us on so many levels, consciously and even subconsciously. We're getting programmed to believe that if we talk about this, we could lose a lot. We could be shunned. We could lose a lot of things that we cherish. Whether we know it or not, we desire to hold on to comfort at some level. We desire to hold on to the things that we have and have earned. See, the enemy will do anything it can to intimidate us, to be quiet. If we're quiet, man, he's done his job. If the truth is not spoken, he's done his job. So it's important that we, heading into a new year, know that we were not reborn and created to be quiet. You need to know this. Your life is found in what you do for Jesus, in the words that you speak for Jesus. Because you were given a mouthpiece. You were given a life to live. Intimidate means to frighten or overawe someone. But there's a reason, especially in order to make them do what you want. So as intimidation is coming against the church, you have to understand there's a reason behind it. It's to shut them up. Do you know that? Like the purpose of intimidation is to silence the word. It's why Christians have been martyred. There's no better way to silence someone speaking of Jesus than to slaughter them, right? The enemy wants us quiet. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
He wants you quiet. If he renders you silent, he's done his job. He doesn't need to kill you. If he can intimidate you into a corner of insecurity and hopelessness, he's done his job, right? You all need to know, you have been called to be a light, right? You need to know this, every single one of you, for the days that you have on this earth, you are reborn into purpose, and that is to be a light, a city on the hill, right? Well, let's look at Acts 4:13. We find Peter and John, they have just healed a man who had been crippled his whole life, speaking of Jesus, causing quite the stir. And I love this verse. Watch what it says. Now when they saw the what? They saw the religious leaders, the persecutors of the time, who were against this truth of Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. When they saw the boldness, meaning when you are bold, it could be seen, right? It's something visible. And man, this was visible. And when they saw this boldness of Peter and John and perceived, I like this, and they saw and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they wondered and they realized, wait a second, that they had been with who? There's so much packed into this one verse. First of all, they're seeing two men filled with boldness, doing things they can't explain, speaking of Jesus, but they also could see they're untrained men. Meaning back then they had no formal rabbinic education. They were just fishermen. They weren't educated. They shouldn't be talking like this. They don't know enough. And they marveled at what they were doing and how they were speaking. But then the light bulb came on and said, wait a second, these were the men that were with Jesus. So Jesus was the game changer. Jesus is what gave understanding to the Pharisees and the leaders going, oh, okay, these are the nuts that were with Jesus. But what we understand from what we preached last week or looked at last week and learned last week is that they weren't just the men that were with Jesus. Jesus was still with them because of what? The Holy Spirit. This is days, weeks after Pentecost. This is after that upper room experience where Jesus breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. These are two men now empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing something that before they were afraid to do. If you remember last week when Jesus appeared to them the day of resurrection in their upper room, they were all up there because they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of these leaders. They were afraid of what might happen to them for walking with Jesus. They were afraid of being kicked out of the temple. They were afraid of punishment. They were afraid of being jailed. They were afraid of these men. But now, everything changed. They were filled with boldness. And talking and doing things in a way that they were not supposed to because they were uneducated and untrained. What happened? Jesus happened, right? So, verse 14 says this, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they couldn't say anything against that. They had to deal with that. So, okay, well, we can't deny that this guy has never walked, but now all of a sudden he's walking. All right, we'll give you that. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, or else a riot will start. But so that it spreads where? So that it spreads no further among the people, let us, all right, guys, severely threaten them. Not just threaten them, we're going to severely threaten them. That from now on, they speak to no man in this name, which was the name of Jesus. We have to look now at what the opposition, how the opposition operates, how the opposition processes. So as they are dealing with this conundrum, these two men have performed a miracle that they cannot deny, but they do not like the message that they are preaching. It goes against everything that they stand for because they rejected Jesus. So when they say they want to threaten them so that they do not speak of this name anymore, are they threatening them for the good of the people? No. Are they looking out for the welfare of Jerusalem? No. No, what do you get from this? Who are they looking out for? Themselves. Right. The message was a direct threat to them. The message messed with them. And it meant that they could lose everything. Because if Jesus was accepted, then what they were holding on to is now false. Everything that they had built would be lost. And they were not driven by the Spirit of God. They were driven by a spirit of pride, right? They were driven by a spirit of self-preservation. And because of that, they wanted to silence these men because it went against their way of living, which is man-centered living. And so as we see this, who's more insecure? They are. They're the insecure ones. But yet you would think they were the ones in power. They were the ones in control. But they were the ones that were threatened, not Peter and John. They were the ones that were flexing their muscles and demonstrating their power, saying, we're going to severely threaten them so that they shut up and they'll listen because we're important. But see, Peter and John had been transformed into this, it's a mindset that says, nothing I have here matters as much as what I know awaits. Nothing I have here matters as much as who is within me, and that is Jesus Christ, and that is the Holy Spirit at work. So they look the fools. They look like the ones that are scrambling, desperate, right? Not Peter and John. And that's the war, you all. It's the war against truth and sin. Righteousness and sin. Sin is all about self, right? Truth is all about God and denying self. These two messages never cooperate, right? So any opposition we are feeling is the enemy stirring up mankind to say, this message is against your religion, which is self-worship. It's against self. It's against self. It's against self. It makes you accountable, right? It makes you accountable for your actions. It makes you accountable for your mistake. It makes you accountable for the things that you say. People don't want that. And so as we face opposition and intimidation, it's the enemy using people to try to squash this message that says, yes, you are sinful, but yes, there is forgiveness in a Savior. See, we hold truth. We hold salvation, the word of salvation. These rulers were perishing and didn't want to hear anything of it, right? But who was right? Peter and John. They were wrong. But Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit. These men were not. So all they have is their ability to flex their muscles and try to intimidate. You see, you can't control a human being. So look at John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he goes, and I will pray the Father. See, this is such an incredible promise. And he will give you another what? What's that word? Would Jesus, would God send a helper if we didn't need help? No. Again, we all have to acknowledge that we need help in walking this walk. We need help to be bold, right? We need help. God knew that. Jesus promised it, that he may abide with you sometimes. Forever. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So what dwells in you always through the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth is activated in the face of opposition and intimidation. You know that? We need to know that we're going to see more. That the more opposition you're facing, the more you understand that, you know, the truth is doing something. The truth is aggravating people. Right? It's doing its job. And you're not here to be an agitator. You're here to be an author, like a light, right? Your hope is that people see your life and hear you and desire to know the root of change so that we can point people to Jesus. That's God's job. We are obedient, but God is who does the work on the heart. Because these leaders didn't come to Jesus. They just threatened Peter and John. Even in the face of an incredible miracle, they were still like, no. We need to protect ourselves. But they still spoke boldly, did they not? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because you cannot receive the Spirit without the Spirit. It's God who moves on the hearts of people. So without the Spirit, it's going to agitate some people. They can't receive it. They don't want it. They're angered by it. And this is what we're seeing, right? There's a lot of anger out there. There's a lot of hatred out there. I don't hear a lot of anger towards Buddhists. Our New Age belief. It's the name of Jesus that awakens the battle. Because it neither sees him or knows him, but you, what? Why? For he dwells with you and will be where? You see, they were with Jesus and he is still with Jesus. They were still with Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. He was dwelling within Peter and John. They were activated. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This was a promise, and they had no idea the need. They had no idea of the need of the Holy Spirit at this time. But man, they did when Jesus was gone. And it is Jesus that empowered them to go forward. 1 Corinthians 1:18. That's why we need the Spirit. We can't do ministry without the Spirit. We can't be who we are in Christ without the Spirit, because for the message of the cross is what? Foolishness, craziness to those who are perishing. See, we can't be mad. Like, we can't expect the world to understand it. It's spiritually discerned. But we get mad that the world's not understanding it, or we get mad at the adversity or at the intimidation and the anger, instead of saying, no, I'm going to continue to preach it and pray that my words resonate with someone, because it's going to be foolishness to them. That's okay. It doesn't stop us. It didn't stop Peter and John. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. You see, in the wisdom of man, they rejected Jesus. They rejected God. They turned to themselves. And that was wisdom. Do you see what? In wisdom, even today, where wisdom is just growing exponentially and knowledge is just growing exponentially, right? It's getting farther and farther away from the truth. You see, this is what, who gets a little intimidated sometimes around smart people? Like, how am I going to justify this? I don't have all the answers. You don't need all the answers. The name of Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. The simplicity of the gospel is powerful because it speaks to the root issue in all human beings. God made it simple. Now, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So we believe in a foolish message, but God made it so. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Prove to me. Prove me. Prove me through your intellect and philosophy how God is real. It's spiritually discerned. But we preach Christ crucified. And to the Jews, a stumbling block because they rejected Jesus. And to the Gentiles, foolishness because it just doesn't add up. It doesn't sound smart enough. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Wow. This is what resides inside of us. Am I right? We have to remember who is in us. The truth, the Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit of truth is in us. And it outweighs any wisdom and any intelligence out there. And if our lives reflect the truth, that's even better. If our words match what people see, it's better because we're going to see it's testimony. It's living. So watch. Let's go back. Peter and John, verse 18. So they called them and commanded them. I like this. All right, guys. This is what we decided. I don't want you to speak anymore. Commanded them not to speak. Watch. At all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they just said, shut up completely. They said, we don't want you to speak anymore, nor teach in this day. Just be quiet for the love. Shut up. You're causing some major issues for us. But Peter and John answered, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, hey, you judge. But watch. For we cannot but speak the things which we have what? We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Do you see what they are saying? What we are speaking is something experiential, something we know to be real because we have seen with our eyes, we have heard, and we have experienced the power of God. We can't help but speak, sorry, but it's who we are now. It wasn't some empty knowledge that they just memorized that had no real connection to their lives. You see, they were a witness to the glory of God. They were a witness to Jesus Christ, the Savior, and his resurrection. We are called to be a witness, not an educator. A witness. They could not help but be changed. They had to speak of it. It's like, guys, you could tell us to shut up, but it's who we are. We can't not speak about it. Like, who's ever gone to a great restaurant? You're like, I got to go tell everybody I know that this was the best cheeseburger I ever had. And then you check in. You say, I'm here at this place. You got to check this out. It's amazing. You got to tell everybody. This burger changed your life. Who's seen a movie? You're like, that movie moved me so much. I haven't felt like that in forever. They got to go see this. It's incredible. It'll change you, this movie. But you do that because you were affected, right? These men were saying, you could tell us to shut up, but we can't because we have seen and we have heard. We know that we know that we know, right? The Holy Spirit is what gives you the knowledge of God. It gives you the proof of his love and his how real he is. The Holy Spirit changes your life. The word becomes life. The word transforms. You and your life are the testimony. See, some of us have such a hard time opening our mouths because it's not really who we are. It's something we do. That's why church could be a dangerous thing if it just becomes about going. Church is something you do. You're not actually coming to worship a living God who has your life in his hands and has formed you and created you to be a light in the darkness, right? Who is here now, presently, to transform lives and to speak life into the darkness. But culture is growing more and more and more intolerant of it. But we cannot be the ones that shrink back, right? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You see, we are a witness. You are a witness. What comes out of your mouth isn't intellect as much as it is your witness, your personal testimony. I can't help but speak of Jesus because he's my life. I can't help but speak of Jesus because I'm changed. Do I have all the answers? No. And even if you did, it wouldn't change them. See, it's a work of God. But see, our lives and our temperament and who we are declares something different, right? But if the enemy can shut us up and scare us and intimidate us, how are people going to know? They won't. You see, remember, you're here to be just a witness. Like an illegal account, meaning, what I'm about to tell you is true. I've seen it. I've experienced it. When you call a witness to the stand, they're like, yes, I did see the suspect so-and-so on this date, this time. And that holds up sometimes. But that's what we are. I'm a witness to the power of Jesus personally. I'm a witness to his goodness. I'm a witness that his power is real, that these just aren't empty words, that he is with me. Sometimes we have to realize that, you see, when we close this book, he does not cease to exist within us. He goes with us. Let's go to Acts 1:8. Watch what Jesus says, talking to the many that were gathered there. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you, and you shall be what? To who? Yeah, Jesus. Meaning you have to have the Spirit of God in you and power to witness to Jesus, because the Spirit of God brings it to life. It convicts you. It convinces you. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, the Holy Spirit, you all, that is within you, convicts you of the truth of Jesus. We may not have walked with him 2,000 years ago, but we know he is real because of the testimony of the Spirit within us. Am I right? No one can take that away from you. And that knowledge transforms you. And God is simply saying, trust that I am with you and that you could have boldness to declare and be a witness to who I am. Look what John 14:25 says. It says, these things, this is Jesus again, I have spoken to you while present with you. But he's encouraging them. He's giving them a promise. He goes, but the what? Okay, the helper. Who now believes we need help to be bold? Please raise your hand. Okay. We've missed the entire point of the message and we have to start again. I don't care how hungry you are. We're starting from square one. The Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will do what? Teach you all things and bring to your what? Remembrance. All things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. But let not your heart be what? Troubled, intimidated, scared, worried. Neither let it be afraid, because I am with you. You see, we have to know that as the Spirit of God was, as he is within us, there's something really supernatural that begins to happen as you begin to open your mouth when God says to. You begin to remember things. You really do. I wouldn't say if it wasn't true. And it's right for that moment. Because he's going to lead you in a way that he will provide. Do you know that? He's there to help you. And as you open your mouth, he's going to help you articulate. And the more of this we have in us, the more that we can recollect in the moment. But see, the Spirit is what leads us and gives us what to say. Again, your responsibility is not the conversion. It's just to be obedient. And the enemy would love you to be too intimidated to open your mouth, because you may lose this and that and the prestige and reputation. Friends and family, right? He wants you to worry more about what you might lose by opening your mouth instead of what you will gain. You see, all of us, as we believe in Jesus, are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to give us the words. So the biggest self-reflection for all of us right now, if you were to be a witness, can you recollect in your life the goodness of God? Can you recollect, as you've been a believer, times when God has proven his faithfulness and his goodness? Do you see yourself as someone that is being changed, that can look back and say, I'm not like this anymore because it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I have witnessed the power of God in my own life through this circumstance, through this trial. You see, it starts there, because they could not help but speak of the things that they have seen and heard and experienced. How has your life been totally changed by Jesus Christ? Has it? Or do you still talk the same? Do you still behave the same? Do you still sin the same? Do you justify yourself? You see what I mean? If you're the same, what do you have to pull on? I'm just saying, because the Spirit of God transforms you and you become more holy and righteous in Him. It's who you are. So it's really important for all of us. How have you changed? In a good way. Because that's where we start. But if you're bitter and angry and condescending and unforgiving and judgmental and then you're like, oh man, God is so good. Please don't open your mouth. No, I'm just kidding. You see what I mean though? It's like the witness comes from a place of identity. It's like, this is who I am and this is like what I know. And we're always changing, right? It's not about waiting to get good enough. God's always good. He meets you where you are, and that's where a witness comes from. But if we're so self-reflective, so self-focused, it's like, no, it's the goodness of God. I have boldness to approach the throne of grace and to receive help in time of need, right? Guys, we are created to be bold. We are created to declare the goodness of God. We are here to grow out of sin and into righteousness. And when we stumble, we are forgiven because our God is so good. And we meet that mercy day in and day out, do we not? That's what we declare. That's what we witness. And then Acts 4:21. So when they had further threatened them. See how foolish this sounds now? All right, just want to warn you one more time. Be quiet. Or else, we're going to let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Wow. Guys, we have no idea what God can do through us. I'm just telling you. This is a year, this series, I want this series to be nothing but encouragement to open your mouths. My prayer is that we all become blabbermouths. In a good way. Guys, this is when things happen. You want to know when faith comes alive is when you activate the lips and the tongue. When you speak in the face of fear and intimidation and you don't back down and you do it with grace and mercy and gentleness and kindness. That's when faith comes alive. I know God has plans for us. He has plans for every one of His children. But this is why we come to church, to encourage one another, to worship together a living God. We're not just going through a routine here. You know, when we're moving towards this event at the end of the month, it's all about boldness. It's all about encouraging people that God is real, His truth is real, and that there is real life to be found in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for the promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for your grace, your faithfulness, everything that makes it possible for us to have the hope, Lord, to have a sense of purpose, Lord, that we are here to declare the goodness of Jesus. You are King. Father God, we thank you for all that you put in place to take care of the sin issue so that we could walk with you and that we could carry you within us everywhere we go and have you helping us, Jesus. Lord, that is something we can't even comprehend, but I thank you that it's a promise and that it's real. And I pray that our eyes and ears would be open to see opportunity, Lord, that we would say no to fear, no to intimidation, and know that we are here to declare your truth. To live out your truth, to reflect your love and your glory and your grace. Jesus, move upon this church. I pray that the Holy Spirit move upon this church, move upon these hearts, stir them into action, knowing that our lives are found in being a mouthpiece and a life that speaks to your truth and goodness. You are worthy of all of our lives, Lord. Every single aspect of it is yours. We submit it to you. We give it to you. We surrender to you and say, may your will be done. For as long as there's air in our lungs, Lord, our life is for you. And then, Lord, eternity. We love you. Amen.
You've been listening to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Felici, an outreach of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. To contact Pastor Russ, visit his website at russfelici.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, an alive faith is an applied faith.